Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forthville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for being able to be on the line one more time. We were able to get together and able to study the Word of God one more time. It's always a blessing, and we thank God for it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. And is Dr. G on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. Thank God for you all. Thank God that you're able to join with us one more time. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's been a couple weeks since we got together. You know that we were called back to work the other Sunday, and then you all were called to some R&R on the next Thursday, so...
Yeah.
Thank God that God has kept us through a couple of weeks. Thank God He's kept our families, the church families, through the week that we were not together. But it's good
Amen.
To be back this week. And I know that we know the Word of God has not changed. And we want to pick back up in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And
Amen.
As we pick back up in the 10th chapter, when we had left off, we were talking about prayer and how important prayer and studying the Word is to our lives. And we were talking about how Cornelius and Peter were instrumental in carrying out God's plan for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be taken to the Gentiles, for them to hear the word of God about Jesus and how that he was crucified and resurrected, and how that God saw fit for him to bear the sins of the world on Calvary's cross, and how Peter and Cornelius had to be in tune with God in order for them to carry out the will of God. And they were in tune with God through prayer and knowing God's word. And, you know, last time we were together, we were talking about how so many things have come together in the world as far as with the global pandemic, with policing in the United States, with systemic racism in the United States,
yeah.
With so many things that are happening around the world at one time, and how through people who have struggled for decades. I mean, I'm not just talking about 10, 15 years, but generation
right.
after generation have struggled with these type of things that are going on, that the people that stood up and helped usher progress from generation to generations were people that were in tune with God, were in tune with, we said this on the last time we were together, that they were in tune with the love of God. And the love of God said that if that men would know that we were God's disciples, we have love one for another. And so the generations after generations, decade after decade, these people operated in the love of God to try to advance the message of God that God said, you know, where the greatest two commandments was to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your fellow man, you know, as yourself.
Yeah.
And try to advance that message to overcome evil with good, to overcome hate with love. And
right.
so in this particular moment in time in our history, people of like-mindedness, of wanting love and justice and the ability to see each other as created in God's image, to go forward in this world. And it's through people knowing God and knowing what God wants. And so here in this 10th chapter, we see that Cornelius and Peter, they love God, and they were in tune with God through prayer and in tune with God, with God's word. And so they were able to carry out God's plan. And God involves us in carrying out his plan. And so he took Peter, a Jew, and Cornelius, a Gentile, to bring them together so that God could show the world at that time what he was trying to do to get people to realize who he was and how we should treat each other. Sheila G.
Amen. And it's interesting that you showed that we can see the parallel today, where, as you were saying, it was basically two different races, the Jew and the Gentile, with God being their center, bringing them together to show the world and show the generations and show the various races that God intends for us to love our neighbors, regardless of their race or their creed or their religion or anything like that. And you have the same thing here going on today. Is the difference in the protests and the people that are coming together today are both black, white, all, you know, brown people coming together to say that this racial injustice is we have to overcome it. Love has to has to trump the hate, as well as the pandemic is hitting everybody, all various races. And as you were talking, I was thinking about how before the pandemic hit, one of the things that we had been talking about in Bible study was how we had lost our moral compass, how everyone was focused on their individual selves. Everybody was all about themselves, that there was people were not coming together. And we had this sense of entitlement. And the more that our government got involved, the more division you saw. But then God, just as he did, as he's doing here with Peter and Cornelius, said, okay, I'm going to shut down the whole world. I'm going to expose the hate. to give the opportunity for love to come up, to bring people together, even though it's in a tragedy. But again, he took that evil mm-hmm. and turned it into good. And we're seeing that every day. You know, sometimes we feel like the enemy is winning, but God allows that to happen so that he can truly show how powerful he really is. But just like here, he's uniting the races to show the love and expose the hate. He's doing the same thing with Cornelius and Peter, bringing the two races mm-hmm. together with one purpose in God.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, they're coming together under the gospel of Jesus that he was crucified for the whole world, that he made a sacrifice for the whole world, and that it was he who died and is risen, and that is the one that puts us in the proper relationship with God. And so, you know, you get that John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so God is the one that will bring the nations and the races together. And he's demonstrating this through using his disciples, the followers, letting them know that the only way that things are going to get right is that you have to turn to God and his plan and his way. And the only way you're going to know his plan and his way is to know him and his word and through prayer. Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And the thing about that, you know, the Lord has been trying to reveal that for years. But when you look at the situation with Cornelius and Peter, this whole business, Paul, the whole thing is that, you know, the God's people didn't understand that God was for everybody. And it's here in the New Testament, mm-hmm. In mm-hmm. this chapter, that the Lord is beginning, because they wouldn't have been ready for it. They had a hard enough time just trying to stay right themselves throughout mm-hmm. all of the generations. They were a disobedient people. But yet there was a bigger purpose that God had in mind. And here, when he began to open it up to the Gentiles mm-hmm. acted like they had better sense than the chosen mm-hmm. people, than the Jews. And if you look at where we are today, it's the same scenario, the same thing going on. So the Lord has had to shut everybody and everybody down. And you got Agent Orange, who's still trying to have the U.S. Step out. Well, he's doing that because we've got more cases than any other country. And he's pulling mm-hmm. us from our allies, pulling us from organizations and things that we've been a part of. It's been a world mm-hmm. type thing. But boyfriend is trying to do, he wants the U.S. to be its own entity, all because of money. And so, again, mm-hmm. we see it. But even in the midst of everything, it's amazing to see how, as Sheila was saying, all the different races of people have
yeah.
come together.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to see George Floyd had the passing and all of the others, but all of this had to take place in order mm-hmm. to bring awareness to the plight of what's been happening for years.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For decades. And you know, mm-hmm. it's one of the things that it does is it brings the church, it exposes the church,
right?
Of what the church has not been doing, mm-hmm. that we've gone to our little corners, and that was one of the mm-hmm. things that Dr. King in his letter from a Birmingham jail was reaching out to the white clergy at the time that was telling them it's not
right.
now, now's not the time. And be peaceful, you know, do it a certain way. And he basically called him out on the carpet and say, you know, how mm-hmm. long should we stand by for this injustice? And, you know, there's an urgency of now. And if you're not a part of this change to make things right, then you're a part of the problem. And
right.
they backed up off.
mm-hmm.
Sheila G.
Amen. And that's so true. And you know, I started writing back and doing my prayer journal again and writing things, you know, little sayings and stuff in a notebook that I keep where I just basically say, dear Lord, and write, you know, my thoughts for the day. And my thought for today that I wrote in there was, you know, this is something that we always say, again, going back to how we recognize we had lost our moral compass and before all this happened. And also I thought about how we're saying that the church has been in the building too much. And that, you know, we kept saying we got to go beyond the walls. We got to get out the building. We got to get beyond the walls. And we've been saying that for the last few years, that it's beyond the walls. Well, what happened? God made it so we couldn't go in the building. So, again, he said, you all are getting complacent. You're sitting down. Everybody's gone to their individual religions, their individual corners. Well, you know what? Now we got to open it up. So now I'm going to take the whether it's virtual, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through, you know, Zoom, or whether it's through conference call, whatever have you, I am taking you out of being comfortable. Because y'all have gotten in these church buildings comfortable, and my word needs, I'm telling you to go ye therefore out, go out, go out, go out, and you're not doing that. You know, you got all hoity-toity, you got all holier than thou, and you got into your traditions, which the Jews, you know, in the Old Testament, that's where God was like stiff-necked, because you've gotten into your traditions, but you're boxing me out. So I'm going to put you in a position where you have to depend on me. And the one, what did he do? He forced us to go beyond the walls so that we can put the goodness of the Lord, not just virtually, but also through, it makes us contact each other more. It makes us reach out and check on each other more instead of waiting until Sunday, because we just know that we're going to see, you know. There's a lot of things that we have been taking for granted as a church that we really should have been doing, you know. Now, even with new birth, we send out, like, whether it's an email or whether it's a text during the week, hey, how you doing? Checking in. And, you know, when we were in the building, we weren't doing that. I mean, even family members that we may not have necessarily reached out to, we're reaching out to them. You know, one testimony on prayer service, one of our members was saying that somebody said, check on your strong friend. So somebody called her to check on that. But these are things that we weren't doing because we were so comfortable in the building. And so God had to make us uncomfortable, like you said, so we can focus on his word and we can focus on him and drawing others to Christ and showing that love that we need to show. He's like, I want to bring you out. I want to let my people go, but I need my people to trust in me and show that faith in me and come together as one body in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, he definitely got Peter and Cornelius attention. So we're going to go to Acts 10, and we want to look at I'm just going to read down through we're going to pick up at verse 9, but I want to read down just to recap what we talked about last time we were together in chapter 10 verse 1, where God is talking to Cornelius and he's preparing Cornelius. And then in chapter 9, we'll see how he brings in Peter and how Peter is been prepared. And it's all through prayer. So let's look at chapter 10. I'll read the NIV, chapter 10, verse 1. It said, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. In verse 4, it says, Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He said. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. And in verse 7 it says, when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and the devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. And so that's the background of Cornelius being instructed by God. And Cornelius being one of prayer, and because of his prayer and his life of almsgiving and treating people with love, God had heard him, and God decided to use him to go to talk to Peter to get Peter to come to minister to the Gentiles about Jesus Christ. And so that brings us to verse 9, where Peter is instructed that Cornelius is sending somebody to him. And this is what we're talking about as far as our prayer life. You know, just don't take it for granted, your prayer life and your ministry and your fellowship with God, as just getting into a routine and religiously doing something. God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows who he can trust with carrying out his will. And in our preparation of our everyday doing the things of God, God will be working on someone else while he's working on us. And we can be totally oblivious to it, our preparation in ministry, our preparation in prayer, our preparation with word and fellowship. All this preparation, just don't take it for granted. It's just something I do. It doesn't make a difference if I do it or not. But do it as unto the Lord. And as you do it as unto the Lord, God has a plan to use you to be able to carry out his plan. And he has a way of bringing odd bedfellows, if you will, together to carry out his plan. So here he has the Gentile sending men to the Jew to have them, to have the Jew who the word came to first to minister to them about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we'll pick up in verse 9 where he says about noon the following day. And so I mean, it probably took years, Sheila G, for Cornelius to get to this point. It probably took years for Peter to get to this point. And it with one day, God brings it all together. And that's that thing of, you know, well, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's like, you never know how long the night is. You never know, Dr. G, how long you have to prepare to get to a moment in time where God says, okay, I want all of this to come together. Here comes the fruition. Here comes the fruit of your labor. You don't never know how long it takes that you have to labor to do this. And sometimes people give up too soon. People quit too early. But you have to stick with it with God. Continue to say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm praying with you. Have your way and do it his way. And here in 2 days, the day before at 3 PM, God spoke to Cornelius. Here at noon on the next day, God speaks to Peter. And he's doing all of this to bring the Jew and the Gentile together so that he can carry out his plan for mankind. And, you know, that's the same thing with what's happening now. Who would ever thought that on our watch, Sheila G and Dr. G, that we would be experiencing pandemic, police reform, experiencing white and black and everybody coming together in the streets with people unemployed, with people out of work, with people wearing face masks, with people doing all these things, that God would take all of these things to come together for people to turn to him and be ready to have the will and desire to do things God's way. It's a moment in time where at one time, everything was, like you said, Sheila G, everything was going, the stock market was raging, people were getting out of the Super Bowl, getting ready for the basketball season, talking about football season again and all of this stuff, and then wham, God said, now I brought all this together to get your attention, and it happened in just like one day, in one moment, that his plan is coming together for all of us to see, Sheila Jean.
Amen. And that's what it, wham is the word too. And you can't say it's about man. He did it in such a way that even for those that don't believe are calling it an invisible, somebody called it an invisible demon or invisible something, because even those that don't, that are not believers in Christ, recognize that it's something and it's not man.
Yeah.
And so God did it in such a way that there's no doubt in anybody's mind that there was something invisible. You know, with us, it's like the faith in God, the Holy Spirit. But with those that don't, they still know it's not man. So You're right. It's like he had to be that drastic and had to do it that way, but he knew it was coming. And, you know, it's one of those things how as a parent, you know your child's about to hit the wall, and you just get tired of telling them, don't go down that path. Don't go down that road. You're going to hit the wall. And you just sit back and say, okay, go on. Keep doing it. And boom, you hit the wall. Then you're like, can you hear me now? And some kids, some of your children will get it. And they're like, let me get it together. And some it takes a little bit longer. And some just don't get it at all until it's too late. Mm-hmm. But he's done it in such a way. It was so miraculous and so drastic in bringing, it's like the perfect storm where he exposed things like, you know, how long have we been saying that the injustice in healthcare alone, that communities, and because they're closing hospitals and because the medical field is so expensive that people are not getting the pre-care that they need to prevent some of these diseases. Well, okay, those people hit the hardest, but they're being hit the hardest because of the economic hardship as well as access to health care. So now it's like, okay, like you said, way back, I remember in the 90s where they first started talking about how health care was not equitable for everybody. Well, now here it is in 2020 where it's really being exposed that, oh, you know what? It's not equitable for everybody. And because it's not, the access is not there. Oh, there's more people that can get hurt this way. Oh, now we get it. But like you said, he knew that in the 90s when they first started talking about it. Then, you know, we tried to get it, you know, got a bit lit of the ACA, the Obamacare. People still kick it and say, no, it's not. Well, boom, now here it is. And God did it in such a way that there's no denying it. There is inequitable health care, and it needs to be addressed. There's inequitable in the police brutality. It needs to be addressed. There's inequality in jobs and the type of jobs and education, and it needs to be addressed all at the same time to the point where you know it's nobody but God.
Amen. And that's what God does. He lets you know that it's nobody but him. And here he's letting Peter know, hey, this is me, and this is what I'm telling you, so get ready for these folks that are coming. In other words, when Cornelius's guys came to Peter had already known. In other words, all of the pieces are falling into place because God had people that had a relationship with him, that went to him constantly in prayer, that went to his word, that were ready, that were prepared to carry out the will of God. And so that's what I ask us today as a church. And, you know, that's what John the Revelator, when in the book of Revelation, he's talking to the seven churches of Revelation. It's like, hey, I'm talking to y'all, you know, I'm telling you, you know, he that has a ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, he said, I'm coming to the churches before I rapture you guys out of here. Y'all need to get y'all stuff right. Anybody gets a chance, go read the first couple chapters of the book of Revelation to see that God is looking for the church to get right, to be an example, because we are his representation. And so here we see Cornelius, and here we see Peter being his representation, that they were right with God. And so that because they were right with God, when God's appointed time came for his plan to be carried out, they were ready because of their prayer life, because of their relationship with God, because of the church's prayer life, because of the church's relationship with God, that we need to be prepared to carry out the word of God when such a time as this comes. Dr. G.
Well, you know, I was sitting here while you and Sheila were talking, and my mind went back because it took 17 years before I got a musician that was committed and dedicated to the Lord and our church. And it took 25 years for the Lord to do what he needed to be done at new birth. Now, I didn't understand it in the beginning, but fast forward to where I am now, I do. Because new birth wasn't doing what New Birth should have been doing. The name says it all, New Birth. Mm-hmm. Them Negroes didn't have New Birth. They were doing everything but. And God had to trouble the water and remove folk, and he had to put somebody in there, I guess, who was crazy enough to be obedient to him and do mm-hmm, it the way mm-hmm. that he wanted to be done. Yell, was it easy? No. There were days I wanted to say, forget this, because this is mm-hmm. just not supposed to be. But because of the faith that I had, Seal and I, and because we stayed in prayer, God would mm-hmm. reveal a little bit at a time until, yeah. you know, he began to send the people to the church that he wanted it to be. And now, you know, Sheila was talking about, you know, having churches all kinds of ways. You know, she was right. Yeah. We got complacent. We had gotten to a point, okay, we saw a church here, we do this, we do that. And a lot mm-hmm, of people mm-hmm. had become, and a lot of people are still complacent. That's why they don't show mm-hmm. up on the call, because they said, well, I just can't get with Zoom or the conference line or whatever. And mm-hmm. I've had, we just had Women's Day Sunday on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And the Lord Amen. Told me when we first started this thing, he wanted to make it the same atmosphere that we had when we were in the church, only mm-hmm. on Zoom. And that's what mm-hmm. we've done. We've done it with all of the new technology. And every time I bring somebody new in there, they say the same thing. This is just like being there. And yeah. I have to give yeah. all glory to yeah. God. But it took 25 years to get mm-hmm. that church to the point of where we are right now. So, you know, all glory goes to God. God knew what he wanted. And yeah. with all churches, you know, churches, when you look at them and you hear the commercial, you know, it's all about this, that, and the other. And I'm sure she'll be going to share this commercial she saw. But it's mm-hmm. not about any of that stuff. It's about drawing people to the body of Christ. Amen. And you do it in whatever manner you have to do. And if that means outside mm-hmm. of the church, then
that's right. That's right. Sheila G.?
Amen. I totally agree with that. And I thought about, as he was saying that, again, we're talking about God is deeper than the building. God is deeper than the facility. He's an invisible, but he's visible. You know, it's like your face knows that Holy Spirit, you know it's there. But it's not, you don't have to be like Doubting Thomas, where he's like, well, I need to see him. I need to touch his scars. I need to do that. Mm-hmm, no, mm-hmm. we just walk by faith and not by sight. And I thought, as Seth was talking about, how even Heart of God, you guys were in a school. It's Central, the school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at it. We went, you and I went to Central High School. That's where we graduated.
I know.
Now, who would have thought that God was going to take you full circle back to
yes.
school where you went to high school to give God the yes. glory? You know, and you know, like you said, with this situation with Cornelius and Peter, here God is preparing to be united, the Gentiles and the Jews, so to say that it's all one body, but it's the same thing that we go through, that God has a plan, and you think mm-hmm. about you all in Central High School still giving God
yep.
the glory, that we both went there when we were younger, but who
yep.
would have thought? And God is just an amazing God, and one of the things that people, that why we have to try the Spirit by the Spirit to know that it's of God, because, you know, we had our, during prayer service, we had Jessica and we had some of our members laughing because, and I'm sure you've seen this on the Word Channel, instead of promoting from a spiritual standpoint the love of God, there are you going to have those that are allowing Satan to use them, and I'm not trying to judge, to take advantage
mm-hmm.
of the situation. And one of them is
yeah.
there's this bishop that now all of a sudden he has this bloody door hanger that for a seed of $72, if you send it in,
oh,
you get
my
the
goodness.
Bloody door hanger, you get the red prayer cloth, and you get a bottle of oil for a seed of $72.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there in his red couch, bishop something, something. But that's not what God
Oh, my God.
And so, yeah, so that's why God you have to try the Spirit by the Spirit. That's why those of us that know the Lord have to share these things to say, and that's why God is bringing Cornelius and Peter together to reach to the people so that you know when there's a false prophet, so that you know that, that you can't put a door, pay $72 for a door hanger, put it on your door, and, you know, take it. And he was taking advantage of the whole story of Exodus with the death angel and twisting it around. And that's how people will do. They would take things out of context. So it's up to us to share with people the true meaning of God, the true gift of the Lord, so that they can recognize those things immediately. And this is what God wants us to do. And that's how he's using Cornelius and Peter. It's like the dream team, you know, putting them together, like what we're doing here with our Bible study lesson. You know, coming together, everybody has that one particular gift that when you unite it together can help to carry out God's word.
Amen, amen. Very, very, very well. Let's look at, go back to Peter in verse 9, Acts 10, verse 9. At about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Again, that common denominator of prayer. In verse 10, he said he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And in verse 11, it said he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. In verse 12, it says it contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And if anyone's familiar with the Old Testament, they were, particularly in the book of Leviticus, there were certain things that God instructed the Hebrew people, his people, the Jewish people, not to eat, and that it would cause them to be unclean, and and that would establish them as God's people that had a peculiar way about them, following the strict rules of dietary with God, and so this was a shock to Peter. That these things that God told him stand up to get up and kill and eat, and you know they weren't supposed to be eating these four-footed animals and these reptiles and these birds, and so he's confronted with this thing that God is telling him to eat, something that he thought was unclean, and in other words, God is revealing to him that anything that he states is clean is clean. In other words, God is revealing to him his plan. Look at verse 14. Peter he speaks back, you know, voicelessly in verse 14. He says, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." And so he is having an awakening to what God's plan was, and God's plan was to have his people, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, to be an example of being holy to God. But here God is showing them that was just for you all to learn how to be an example. But these people that I'm showing you now, the Gentiles, I made them too, and they're not unclean. Mm-hmm. So don't compare them to the animals, because God's going to let him know that it's clean. Let's look at verse 15, where God clarifies it for Peter. He says, "The voice spoke to him a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.'" And so he's telling them that the anything that he declares clean is clean. And he's giving Peter a message to you gotta change your way of thinking. You might think that you were and I call it the privilege of the day,
the privilege,
that you were clean by what you were eating, But you weren't clean by what you were eating. You were clean by being obedient to God to eat certain things that God wanted you to eat.
Right.
And so now God is revealing, he's revealing his second level of faith, his second. And this is what I tell people about. God raises us from faith to faith. In other words, our faith keeps getting stronger, and God takes us in levels. Okay, at this time, my faith was here, but my obedience, my faith, and my prayer, my relationship with God has now caused my faith to go here. And so now this another level of faith that Peter is having to experience is going to make way for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be presented to the Gentiles. And a lot of times God, oh my gosh, he takes us through certain things to get us to another level of faith in him, Sheila G. And sometimes it's painful. This is a shock to Peter's system. Peter was like,
right,
I've never eaten that thing like that. But God was showing him through a dream, through a vision on a white sheet that this was pure. This wasn't unclean. And so that required him to go to another level of faith in God to realize what God was trying to do in this particular time. Sheila G, help me out.
Amen. And, you know, that is so true, how God will reveal things, and he'll do them because God is consistently wanting us to grow and to grow in him. And at the end of the day, he loves all of us. And when we start becoming holier than thou, he will break it down and he will sit us down and get us to realize it's not about you. It's about me. And you can't say any. If I tell you to love your neighbor as I love yourself, I don't mean that you love your neighbor if they look like or act like you or
come
feel
on
like
now.
You.
Come on
I
now.
Love them because
come
I
on
love
now.
Everyone. And as you were talking about that, it took me back to New Birth when we had been there. And like, you know, I've shared the story before where some of the younger people in the neighborhood had started coming to church, but some of the young women didn't have like dress up dresses or the dress up outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they would walk in there, some of the older members would give them a look like, you know, okay, wait a minute, you can't come to church like this. But God loves everybody. And so what I started doing, because it was a tradition that, you know, it was the tradition. You got to remember this church was established in 1963, that when women came to the church, they had to wear a dress, you know, old Baptist tradition. But God loves us all. And so he revealed to me, as the first lady, as the leader of the church, you start wearing pants. Well, I started wearing pantsuits. So it was the thing where, okay, I'm wearing my business suit, so I'm still coming dressed up, but I'm wearing pants. Because God's like, I need to get these people to stop focusing on what people are wearing or what they're doing. And focus
all right.
on the fact that I love everybody. So sure enough, I started wearing it to make them comfortable. And they're like looking at me, the older members are like, and went to pastor, went to my husband and said, pastor, some people are talking because first lady wore pants to church. And and again, this is one time where he had to look at the officers and be bold in Christ, again, because God loves everybody, like he's telling Peter here. And he pulled out the Bible and he said to those particular members, show me in the Bible where it says the first lady can't wear pants to church and I will tell her to stop. And they couldn't say anything. And then what happens a year or two later, their wives are wearing pantsuits to church. But I say that to say that sometimes we become so holier than thou and set in tradition that we don't recognize that God's ultimate goal. He doesn't care about the outside. He cares about what's inside. What we found was, you know, some of the ones that they were looking at started, you know, they were cleaning up, they were wearing, if they may wear their pants, but they weren't all high
school,
but because they were drawing and they were growing in the Lord, that some of the way that they were wearing, they started changing on their own as they grew in Christ. But it's not for us to judge. And that's what he's saying here with Peter is like, okay, you need to let go of tradition because I created everything. And so you can't tell me that my creation is not good enough for you. And that took me back to that moment where sometimes we just got to step out on God's faith. And man may talk about us, man may look down on us, but God is one that we're living for, not for man. And then God got the glory and he got the victory out of it. We are going to be persecuted for Christ's sake, but in the end,
mm-hmm.
he is the one that gets the glory and we in turn get the blessing.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. G, change is tough. Change is tough. And as you look at this passage of scripture, he's dealing with Peter in verse 16. It took three times. And, you know, when Jesus ministered to Peter, when he told him to feed his sheep after Peter had denied him three times, you know, he said, you know, if you let me feed my sheep. And you know, he said it three times. And I guess that's just a thing with Peter is the three times man. You know, sometimes we might be the 10 times man to get it right. You know, and as he's speaking to our nation, you know, and nations around the world about the racism and all of this stuff, it takes a while sometimes for people to get it right. And it has to be repeated. And so in verse 16 of this same chapter of Acts, it says, this happened three times. You know, after three times, it said that immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. In other words, as we grow in faith, sometimes it takes us some time to get there. And in other words, God knows all of us, and he knows what it takes for all of us to get to where we need to be. And here it's happening to Peter, and Peter, it must be a three number with Peter for him to be able to raise to that level of faith. But he got there. He got there in verse 17. He says, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And then here what happened in verse 19. He says, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, you know, this is like I'm saying, he's moving to this another level of faith. The Spirit said unto him, now this is interesting. He said, Simon, three men are looking for you. And so in this process, God called Cornelius to send these three men, and then Peter, that what God called clean is clean, it's not impure. And then he showed him three times, and as he's growing in this level of faith, then all of a sudden it starts to come together. But we all have to understand that we're on this journey of faith, and we can't give up, because what God's plan is going to be revealed to us in time. And so we have to encourage each other, Dr. G, to stay on this journey of faith. Sometimes we might not understand it. Sometimes we might have to review it one time, two times, three times. Sometimes nations and countries have to review and go through certain things in order for them to get it right. But the thing is to continue to pursue. In this country, their constitution was made up that they're in pursuit of a more perfect nation, a more perfect union, and it's always a pursuit. Not to say that you're always going to get it right. Not to say that all of us as individuals, and that's the thing that I get concerned sometimes about the church, Dr. G, is that we hold people to a unrealistic expectation, not thinking that they're not going to fall, that they're not going to make mistakes, and that it's not going to take some time for them to get where they need to be. But our position should be as encouragers, consolers, to pray that they will get there, because there's something greater in God and faith in God that will happen from them being faithful. But we can't get down on them if it takes them a little bit longer. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you know, you're right. And one of the things that we have to keep in mind, when you go back and look at Peter was rough around the edge, even when Jesus first called him. And it took Peter a while to get to the point where he is now, that the Lord could use him. I mean, Peter was you know, he was the one that carried the sword. He was going to fight physically. But he didn't quite understand what Jesus came. And so it took him a while to even get his faith right, to the point where God could use him to preach and do all of the things that he wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know, we are like that. People are like that. And you're absolutely right. You know, especially when new converts come in and we can't judge them. Okay, they may start coming for a while. I look at those that were starting to come before we left the church. Okay, we've gotten on Zoom. A lot of folk are not calling in for whatever reason. You've got some that may hit and miss. But rather than come down on them, you know, I try to encourage. And I found that by doing that, you know, especially with some of these young adults, you know, they're calling me and sharing their life stories with me. And I could very well, if I was where I used to be years ago, just be hard. You know, you shouldn't do this, shouldn't be doing that. But rather than that, I use the same thing that Jesus used in love. Okay, you've gotten to this point now. What have you learned? How can we get better? And when we do it like that, you know, people are more apt to want to hold on to this new thing that they have because that is the love of Christ. But again, we have to remember that Peter was rough in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, now it's time for Peter to go a little bit higher. And he does that with each of us. You know, there's no way in the world I could have been where my faith is right now when I first started. No, because I was ready to fight, cut some folks, cross some folk out. But now I've learned I don't have to do any of that because God already has all of that in control. And so it is a thing where we have to grow in Christ. And each level, it gets better and higher and higher as we go on. So it's a thing that all of us have to get to. And as we continue to stay strong in our faith and on this journey,
exactly what it says,
you know, the Lord is going to take us higher, but we have to do it according to His way and His word. Because we're going to go through things in this life. You're going to have situations in your life. And the Lord will show you or reveal to you how he wants you to deal with it. But it is a thing that we've got to walk
through. There's something that is.
And the way that we're going to work this thing out.
Amen.
Hey, Sheila G.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I got to go. But, you can finish up and close us out with prayer, and we'll go to the phone lines after tomorrow, on next week. Yeah.
Okay. Not next week. Amen.
All right. Go ahead.
Amen.
So
the final comment for tonight is that basically God has got us. He's going to use us, and we're all created equal, but God loves us. And we're supposed to draw others to Christ without judging, recognizing that there's a mission on earth for us to draw others to Christ, to show love, to continue to trumpetize that what man means for evil, God is going to turn it into good. And I just ask everybody that has a wonderful week, we will pick up and receive calls on next week. Let us just continue to pray and encourage one another. Pray for those that are sick. Pray for our nation. Pray for the world. Pray for all of our souls. Pray for our peace and for our strength, because that's what's going to get us through all these challenging times. And just give God the glory on a continuous basis, because we can always see the good in what God is doing. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. We come right now praising you for this lesson, Lord, letting us know that you yourself in this lesson said that everything that you touch is clean. There is nothing unclean, Lord. Now, Father, I pray that we will just take your word, take your love beyond the walls of the church, encourage, call, reach out to someone. Let them know about the goodness of the Lord, Lord. I pray, Father, as Pastor C has to go, that you will be with him and lead God
God direct his path and help him through whatever he needs to handle and take care of, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for all your many blessings. I pray for each and every one that's on this call. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone. We love you.